Introducing the all-new MLB Plus, your ticket to streaming baseball's best.
Let's go!
Enjoy MLB Network 24/7 with live out-of-market games and award-winning shows. Enhanced game nights with MLB Big Inning, live and commercial-free. And hear live home and away radio broadcasts of every game, blackout-free. Even stream minor league games all season. It's all here and it's all new. Get MLB Plus for just $59.99 a year. Visit MLB.com/MLB Plus.
Hey, y'all. Poodle and Maddie here from Reality Gaze. Grab your favorite thong, because for the first time, we're heading to the villa for the new season of Love Island USA.
I can't wait to watch Ariana babysit these shiny, oiled-up adults who I'm pretty sure aren't there for the right reasons.
From the home-wrecking bombshells to the absolute wreckage of movie night.
Pull up a daybed and join us every Wednesday for all the Love Island USA drama.
Find Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome into another episode of the Leftovers Podcast. Derek Kramer.
Frank Curry.
What's going on? Thanks for listening, as always, on WGR550.com and On Demand Audio. Hey, dude. 22 days away from the draft.
Yeah.
But who's counting?
Everybody.
Everybody is. You're absolutely right. And
3 weeks.
Just about 3 weeks.
Yep.
You can just call it 3 weeks. Call it what it is. And the hoopla is still at an all-time high.
Yep.
The hype is always real.
Yep.
And Mocktopia is always a brilliant place.
It is.
That's one of the best bumps that Ryan's ever created, by the way. Mocktopia.
Yeah.
So, anyway, I put out a mock. Everyone puts out mocks. They're out there. Kiper, McShay, they put out their fourth ones.
Yep.
McShay throwing trades in with a twist. Kiper just having teams sitting at their picks.
Yeah.
At this point, really, I have to say this, and it's more of a personal thing than anything else. I mean, people are always going to have their personal preferences with this sort of stuff. But if the reality is something, mock it toward that reality. Just like how PPR fantasy leagues are becoming more of the standard for football, for fantasy football.
Yeah.
Trades within the top 10 of this draft are going to be the favorite. They're going to be the majority, because there are teams that are looking to do that. And if you cannot mock without these trades, without even coming up with two of them, then I don't know what you're doing. You're wasting everyone's time.
Right.
At the end of the day. Because you are not... Mock drafts are meant to be entertaining.
They are.
And what's entertaining about being one of those fans of a team that is looking for a quarterback and seeing that they're sitting there, for example, at pick 12?
Yep.
There's no reason to read it.
And then at pick 12, they're not taking a quarterback.
They're taking two defensive players, and it's angering you to no end.
Yep.
Or you end up settling on a Mason Rudolph, or maybe even getting lucky with a Lamar Jackson sliding all the way to 22. But at least then you have something that's entertaining. But again, at the end of the day, it makes it look like, through the looks of the scope of the mock draft, that you're settling.
Mm-hmm.
And one, I don't want my team settling.
Yeah, no.
I know that the Dolphins fans probably want to see some sort of action from them at 11.
Yep.
Cardinals fans want to see them doing something from 15, probably. Mm-hmm. Chargers fans are looking for the heir to Phillip Rivers.
Yep.
Three teams at the back of the first round, Jacksonville, New Orleans, and Pittsburgh, are teams that you could suspect, even now New England, taking a guy to sit behind their current starter. Why? Because they have teams that are actually more complete than anything.
well, yeah.
But
you got that quarterback, it helps.
You've got that quarterback, it helps. Well, the Jaguars don't.
Yeah.
But they have probably the most complete team of the group.
They do.
They've got Blake Bortles weighing them down. But but again, those guys are looking to possibly even trade up in the later part of the first round to beat other teams from taking a guy like Mason Rudolph.
Yeah.
Or if Lamar Jackson does fall.
Him too. Yep.
Or if Lamar Jackson starts sliding out of the top 10, you might see action there.
Yep.
You know, Arizona, no. Los Angeles, maybe even Baltimore.
Oof. Yeah.
Well, they might find action.
Well, Baltimore.
I said maybe.
Maybe. But they did sign RG3.
But what
today.
I'm doing is I'm coming up with interesting ideas.
Oh, yeah. Oh, they, and that's what makes draft season great.
That's what's supposed to be a mock draft. A mock draft is supposed to be entertaining and educational as to what your team is looking for.
Yep.
You are not learning anything anymore by teams sitting in their standard mock pieces. I did my first one without trades, but that was because I thought my head was going to explode. And I was right. When I created this mock draft with these trades, there is so much that you have to take into account with the value chart, with the picks, everything like that. What's going the other way? What is the motive? Who are you jumping? What are you getting? What's the other team going to go and get? What picks are going the other way?
Yep.
And is this offer better than what another team is offering? Luckily for the Bills, that answer is yes. That last one is a yes. Can you outbid another team? Absolutely.
Yes, you always can.
Bring it.
Yep.
The Bills can drop all their picks on the table and go, okay, your move. You can even look at the Patriots square in the eye and go, oh, yeah? Yeah. Because the Patriots, they, you know, go ahead and put a little fear into everyone's hearts by getting another first-round pick yesterday.
Yeah, trading Brandon Cooks to the Rams.
And at first, it made me nervous. Because I'm thinking to myself, of course New England's going to do it. Of course New England's going to be that guy. And because teams somehow managed to get less for any trade than with New England, that's what's going to happen. It happens every time. Every time. Not every time. But most of the time, a team looks really stupid for dealing with New England.
Mm-hmm.
We'll give you a sixth-round pick for a guy who was a starter for you all season. Okay, cool. What? No, don't do that.
Yeah.
So, nah. No, it. There's a lot to it that... there's enough to it that I don't need to worry too much, though, about New England, because the Bills, for every pick that New England has, the Bills can match.
The Bills' picks are better.
Remember, in the first round, they're better. Yep. That is the conduit to this. If we're looking at the second round, New England's got better picks there.
Yeah. But, I was going at with the first round.
But the first round alone gives you more value in itself.
Yes.
We were always questioning Bills sitting at 21 and 22. How the hell are they going to get up in the top 10 with that? Well, they found their way.
Mm-hmm.
They found a way by shipping Cordy Glenn out and 21 so that they can move up to 12 and be within striking distance.
Yeah.
And depending on where they want to trade to, 22 is probably going to be involved. If they don't need
to be involved.
If they don't have to go that drastically, for example, in my mock draft, I have them going up to 7, reacting to a pair of quarterbacks that I think are the two best in this draft, not being taken right away. I think the Browns are linked to Sam Darnold.
You got the Browns taking Darnold at 1, which is what we've kind of been saying for quite a while, kind of what's also been put out there that you just said the Browns are linked to Darnold, and it and a lot of other people have been saying, well, they're probably going to take Darnold at 1, and then you got him and Taylor. So you got that, and then it really is a matter of what do the Giants do.
And the Bills, and this is why we have been saying the Bills are going to react to something, because say the Giants take a quarterback at pick 2. Now, the Jets take a quarterback at pick 3. Depends on what quarterback is there at 4.
Yes.
If it's Baker, if it's Rosen, I suspect the Bills will move everything they have to. Fire and brimstone.
If they have to
blow away Cleveland to get to number 4.
Yeah.
Because, especially if it's Mayfield.
Oh, yeah. Because if the Giants take a quarterback at 2, whether it's like Rosen or Allen, the Jets are taking the other one. Yeah. And then it's really only Mayfield left.
It could be the Jets taking Mayfield and, say, Josh Allen's falling there to 4.
Okay, that's true, too.
But I suspect that you brought this theory up to me, and I'm a firm proponent of it at this point, that the Jets are taking Josh Allen.
Yes.
And they reacted because of Josh Allen.
Yes.
And all the love that the Bills put out there.
Yes.
The love for Josh Allen, I think, when you brought it up.
The Jets made a panic move.
When you brought it up, I think the love for Josh Allen was fabricated. It was smokescreened. It was everything like that. No, I'm not going to put a Pokemon in the background this time. But I think the biggest thing about what the Bills are trying to do, if quarterbacks go 1, 2, 3, if it's Rosen, if it's Mayfield, they will move heaven and earth.
Yeah.
fire and brimstone. They will do whatever they have to. Three first-round picks.
They will have to give up next year's first to do it.
In order to get to four to get their guy.
Yeah. They will have to overpay massively.
And that is something, if the Giants do that, that's how they're going to react.
Yes.
If the Giants don't take a quarterback at number two, the Bills can relax a little bit.
Which I really suspect that's the case.
And this is how the mock goes.
Yeah.
John Ledyard said this with Chopin Bulldog. And it helps me resonate and feel like I'm not crazy. And it's this. Darnold 1. Chubb 2. Allen 3. So at pick 4, the exact quote John Ledyard said, I'm not going to say exact quote, but the quote that John Ledyard says insinuates that Baker Mayfield and Josh Rosen can both be there at pick 4.
Yeah.
If you like one or the other, that's fine. And Denver might, say you like Baker Mayfield more. You might need to trade ahead of Denver if you think that Denver's going to do it.
Yeah.
However, you can also wait. Because guess what? One of them is falling.
One of them will fall because Cleveland's sitting there at four again. And if you're right, and Chubb goes two to the Giants, which I would still suspect that they would take Barkley at two. But if Chubb.
But then that means Chubb falls four to Cleveland.
Exactly.
Guess what Cleveland's doing?
Cleveland gets their pick of Chubb or Barkley, whichever one doesn't.
Guess what Cleveland's doing? They're staying there and taking that guy.
Yeah, they're
going to
stay there, take that guy. Denver then gets their pick of Rosen or Mayfield.
And I suspect that it's Baker Mayfield.
I would suspect that too, because that's been the link, just
that's
like how Cleveland's
been linked
Bowl. With Darnold. Yes, it's the Senior Bowl, and so, just like how Cleveland's been linked to Darnold. And then he's not going to go. He's not going. Whoever doesn't get picked, let's assume Mayfield goes to the Broncos.
So that's five. Six.
Indy is not taking a quarterback.
Indy's not taking a quarterback. Let alone though, Indy doesn't want to trade down.
Yeah, and let alone they don't want to trade down again out of the top 10. They can take, you know, whoever they need it for defensive player,
whether
it's like Fitzpatrick or something.
Indy might even take Quentin Nelson. Like, they're going to
take
a guy.
Nelson, too. Yeah, that's another.
They're going to take a guy. I have them taking Minka Fitzpatrick.
Yeah.
And I'd have them not moving down. Guess what?
I would say they take Nelson at six.
Ready? If they don't want to move down to, like, if they didn't want to move down to 12 with the Bills, what makes you think they want to move down to 11 with Miami?
Yeah.
Indy's staying put.
They're going to stay put. I would suspect they take Nelson at six.
I think they're taking Fitzpatrick. You need to help that defense more right now.
That's fair. That's fair, too. But do you think they also, they're going to look at, well, we got to make sure that our quarterback's protected so that this doesn't
happen
again?
You have 3 second-round picks now, actually.
Yeah, now two of them are for this year. So then you can use those,
but
use
now
those
they,
with your defensive
no,
players.
No, because now they have their own in the two that the Jets sent them. They have three second-round picks.
That's right. They have 3 seconds, yes.
And there's still Will Hernandez at guard there.
Yeah.
There is James Daniels, Billy Price. There's a lot of interior line help in the second round that could be available.
Okay.
But a guy like Minka Fitzpatrick, I think, is the pick at six, because after Minka Fitzpatrick, Jaire Alexander, and Denzel Ward, the corner class kind of tumbles a little bit.
Versus, well, is Fitzpatrick going to be drafted as a safety or a corner?
I think he's going to be drafted as a corner.
Okay.
But he has the versatility
but
to play
if
both.
That, then if that's the case, then I could totally see that.
And if they have the versatility.
Because I'm thinking he was going to get drafted as a safety, and they did draft Malik Hooker last year.
But then you could pair Fitzpatrick and Hooker.
That's true. You could.
That's a pretty damn good
secondary
right
there.
Yeah,
right.
That's a good back end right there.
Yeah, that is true.
But even so,
they're not taking a quarterback. That leaves you perfect to go to Tampa and be like 12
and
that's, what else?
And guess what? If you're going up only five spots, I'm suspecting at
may
this
not
point,
have to
you don't need
22.
To get drastic.
Yeah.
The Jets gave up 3 second-round picks, but one of them was next year.
Yeah.
You don't know where that pick's going to be.
Yep.
So the Bills, I think, they can take both of their second-rounders, 53, 56.
Yep.
And their third-rounder at pick 65.
Yep.
It's going to hurt.
But then
but
you
you're
get,
doing that and you're moving up
but you
five
keep,
spots. But you keep 22.
And you keep 22, yeah.
And guess what you can do with 22? Trade back.
You could trade back.
Recover some of the damage.
Yeah.
So.
Which is what you have the Bills
doing.
Which
I have them
doing. You have the Bills giving up both their second round picks, 65, to trade up five spots, take Rosen at seven, and then trade back with 22 with New Orleans.
Yes. I have them getting 91 and I suspect probably a fourth.
Yeah. Something like that. That's like what? Like a few spots anyway. Yeah.
I think what they would do is they would go pick number 91 in the third round.
Yep.
swap fourth round picks.
They could,
so yeah, the Bills move back in the fourth round. And then that's something that happens. That's a deal that happens.
It's whatever. You know, it's
you swap some
basically,
later picks.
Basically, the Bills are just moving back again
because
in the first round.
They don't want to give up their whole draft class for a guy because they don't draft until the third round. So if they were to take that third round pick and send it away, there's no second, no third. I don't think they're giving up just a fourth rounder as well. That's three picks right there that they don't have.
Yeah.
But I think what they would do is they would swap fourth rounders and be done with it. Maybe even swap third rounders. I don't know. So, no, they wouldn't swap third rounders. That's bad for the Bills. So, no, I think, though, that the Bills have a chance to eat their to get their cake and eat it, too.
Yeah.
And it's not crazy because John Ledyard kind of helped me kind of remain with that conviction.
Yeah.
I mean, yes, I know John Ledyard's not God, but dang it, he's a guy I trust. And, but the more you think about it, it's real to think about. It's not, I'm not in some fantasy land over here. I'm not. If I wanted to be in a fantasy land, I'd go play a friggin' video game or something.
Go play
right
Madden,
now.
Yeah.
I don't even know. Madden's not even a good fantasy land.
That's not.
But, no, I could be an absolute dork and play a video game if I want to go to a fantasy land right now.
Yeah.
This is within reality because the Browns like Darnold. The Jets like Allen.
They have to like Allen. We don't know who even they like, but even so, all the signs point to that.
All signs point to the Giants.
Yeah.
What do they do? We have no idea what the
we
Giants
don't know.
Are going to do. Nobody knows.
And I suspect you are right in terms of they're not taking a quarterback because
Denver's
you got
not even
because,
guaranteed.
Yeah, Denver's not even a guarantee too. But when you because when I try to figure out what teams are taking who, because free agency is before the draft. You have to look at what the teams do in free agency. What are they doing to get players here? And I've said this the same thing with the Bills. Signing AJ McCarron to me says they are trading up for a franchise quarterback who could start day one because they're not trading away Tyrod Taylor and then signing AJ McCarron to start AJ McCarron.
Not solely, but I know what you're saying. You want a guy who's going to be able to, who could start this year.
Could. But like I said, to me that tells me that they want a quarterback like a Rosen or even a Mayfield, who could go in
and compete right away.
Compete right away. Yes, exactly.
And that's
if
where I think
the
you're
Bills
right.
were to have kept Tyrod and not traded him at all, and just said we're going to keep him for next year.
Guess what? Then they would have done the same thing. It still tells
they could
me.
Have they could have done the same thing. However, or if they would have maybe were there talks with Alex Smith.
No, here's
now,
my.
Well,
here's
hang
my
on.
Idea.
Well, now well, yep. let me yep. let me go. So if let's say the Bills traded for Alex Smith instead of Washington, I could totally see the Bills drafting Josh Allen. I could totally see the Bills drafting not Mason Rudolph, but that's at least in the discussion. Lamar Jackson becomes more of a probability for me. But signing AJ McCarron, even though, remember, AJ McCarron doesn't have a lot of NFL experience, neither did Tyrod when he came here. But there is a reason that McCarron was a backup in Cincy to Andy Dalton. There is a reason for it. And signing AJ McCarron just tells me that they want either Rosen or Mayfield, and I suspect it's Rosen.
Now, what I think the Bills did, and this is why I have so much faith in this franchise right now, is this. They're maximizing value.
Yeah.
They knew that AJ McCarron was hitting free agency.
Yep.
They knew there's not as huge of a drop-off between Tyrod Taylor and AJ McCarron. What the Bills knew that they had was a guy under contract.
Yeah. And on a better contract, too.
So what do? You trade the guy that you know can get you something.
Yep.
I didn't think that you were going to get a third.
No, no one did. People thought they weren't going to get anything.
For a guy that people were expecting could get cut.
Yeah.
So the Bills are doing something that in this front office that I have not seen in a long time. They're maximizing value.
Mm-hmm.
And the way that they're doing it makes me believe that they're not going to give up an arm and a leg, but still be able to get the guy that they want.
Yeah.
I don't know how it's going to happen.
We don't know how.
But Bean and McDermott, they seem to know what they're doing.
Yeah.
And again, might be jaded. I might be addicted to the process. I might be drinking the Kool-Aid. I don't know anymore.
And I don't know
what to call it anymore. How's that?
Yeah.
But I believe.
Yeah.
And this franchise is allowing me to believe in them.
Yeah.
They're allowing me to trust in them. They're allowing me to get my heart broken because I'm an idiot. But at the same time, they're making smart moves.
Yeah.
We're not used to this.
No, we're not.
And at the end of the day,
we're used to panic moves.
And at the end of the day, as long as two things go the way that it's suspected that they will go, and one team goes ahead and thinks that they're a contender again, everything falls the domino's way to the Bills.
Yeah.
And those three big ifs are not even that crazy. They're at the very least 50-50. If the Browns take Josh Allen, everything is thrown into the whack.
Oh, absolutely.
Wrong. Not everything is thrown into whack.
Your pop.
My pop was just singing, if anyone heard that. And we were mystified. No.
I think
the pop
just agrees with you.
But the Giants are still the key.
I think it's more on the Giants.
Even if the Browns take Allen at pick one, say the Giants still don't take a quarterback. Well, then probably Darnold going to the Jets there at four. I mean, at three.
I don't think the Jets would complain if they get Darnold at three.
So guess what? Still Rosen, still Mayfield.
Yeah.
Guess what? If the Jets take Rosen, then it's Darnold and Mayfield there.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going to go on. I don't have a damn clue. But, man, is it fun to think about. Because
oh, it's so much fun.
And I wanted to think of something, and I wanted to bring it up. This idea that maybe the Bills can have both. It's a thought-provoking thing.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, it's a mock draft. It's not reality.
And if it
is, backflips. I will fail to do. I will fail to do backflips. Okay.
I will get footage of it.
Frank will record it.
I will record it
and see how I broke my neck celebrating the Bills getting Josh Rosen. Okay. So no, I think that there is a lot to this, and there's hope.
Yeah, there's a lot of hope.
There's hope that the Bills can get what they want and at the same time still be able to keep 22 and either hang out there, pick a best player available, or you can trade down even because there's still a lot of talent in this first round.
Yeah.
There's a lot of talent in this first round.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's true.
I have the team mocked to take Maurice first.
I would also suspect if, let's say this kind of does happen and like Rosen's there at seven and the Bills are going to trade up with Tampa to do it. I would say there's still a possibility that they give up maybe even just 12 and 22. And like, as you say, maybe the team swap picks like fourth picks or like just 12, 22 and like a fourth. Mm-hmm. And maybe they swap later round picks too. And then you keep your seconds. But I mean, it's when it comes to trades, you know, you don't know. Yeah. You don't know what you're getting. You know, sometimes you get an idea of what
you're
getting.
And that's why my mind feels like it melted.
Yeah.
Because the trades, you don't know who's going to move.
Because at the end of the day, you're just taking a guess.
Yeah.
Like you're just taking a guess.
As educated of a guess that you can.
You're doing your research and you're coming up with a hypothesis based off your research.
I'm not in school anymore, Frank. Don't say that again. This isn't a science project.
You
spit out the scientific method at me right now.
If you're a 10-year-old kid and you're about to go to a science fair.
If you're a 10-year-old kid, you're not listening to this.
Well, if you're a 10-year-old kid, you know what? Do a mock draft as your science project.
Yeah.
There you go. There you go, kids.
There's your real science right there.
Yeah.
Bound to get an F.
Hey, here's your hypothesis. The Bills are taking Josh Rosen.
Bills are going to trade up to seven to get Josh Rosen and be able to keep 22.
Yeah, here's how.
That's my hypothesis.
Yeah, that's
based on this research.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, it's not out of the ballpark.
My head hurts. This is where I wish we had a camera for this.
Hey, maybe that'll come soon.
Tylenol.
We weren't even, we even said too before the show.
All right, there it is. Going down the right.
We even said too before the show we weren't even going to talk about quarterbacks.
And then I came out with a mock draft.
Yeah, and then you the mock draft. Oh, we to be fair, we had to talk. We should have talked about the mock draft since you put, since you released it yesterday. Yeah.
And
no, it's
it was late last night too.
It was late. It was late. But
I was sticking around. I told Ryan, hey man, go home. I'll take care of NASCAR Live while I hammer out the rest of this mock.
Yeah.
It's been 2 weeks in the making. And
yeah, it has.
And finally, I got it all figured out.
Yeah.
And I still look like an idiot.
Well, once again.
Or at least sometimes I feel like I'm an idiot.
That's what happens when you're just taking a guess.
Find yourself someone that loves you as much as I hate myself.
I guess
at the end of the day there. I make fun of myself a lot.
I do too.
Don't take life seriously, kids.
It's true.
Also stay in school.
Yeah, stay in school. Please.
So, Frank, you had something you wanted to bring up.
I did.
That was a fairly interesting discussion topic.
I did.
And you know what? We'll talk about the rest of the draft on Sunday. I don't care.
We've got plenty of time to talk about the draft. Don't worry. It's only 22 days away. 22 days, like 4 hours and, you know. But who's counting?
I'm so excited.
But who's counting? So
I will say one more thing, though, on draft snippets. Draft snippets like this. If the Bills were to be sitting there at pick 22 and, you know, they still have it, there's a couple of things that you have to take into account. I would say one of them would be the clock is racing backwards and Frank's giggling like an idiot.
It's funny.
Why is it doing that?
I don't know why it's doing that, but go on.
Anyway, I think defensive tackle is a big thing.
Vita Vea
is not going to be on the board.
No.
I don't even think Jerron Payne's going to be on the board. So that leaves Maurice Hurst, Taven Bryan from Florida.
They signed another defensive end, though.
But linebacker Tremaine Edmonds from Virginia Tech is a big-time player at linebacker they would want to look at. Mm-hmm. Leighton Vander Esch, his stock has been rising from Boise State.
Yep.
And the Bills do need a guy back on the inside with Preston Brown leaving.
Yeah, they would need another linebacker.
I think Edmonds would be the guy on the inside. I think Vander Esch is more of an outside backer. I think his athleticism speaks leaps and bounds about that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Edmonds is that guy that can give you balance within in the middle of a defense.
Yeah.
I think that linebackers, it's a pretty decent draft. Mm-hmm. It's a very top-heavy defensive tackle draft.
Yeah.
You're looking at a lot of guys that can go in the first round because they're pretty talented.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the Bills end up going eventually in that direction. And you might be able to trade down to get Maurice Hurst because that heart condition, he was cleared now by 3 different doctors at 3 different universities. So there's that too.
Mm-hmm. That's good. And that's really good to hear. Yeah, the clock moved backwards, and now it's going forwards.
As if to amend the mistake of going backwards.
Yep.
Anyway.
But even so, I'm still kind of getting the feeling of...
Here's what I'm noticing right now with this draft class.
I was gonna
now that I'm widening my scope, now that I am not focusing so much on these quarterbacks since September...
Yeah. It's been that long.
It's been that long. It's been that long since I was doing the weekly reports.
Almost over.
Here's what I'm recognizing, though, with the draft class. Deep for offensive linemen.
Okay.
You're looking at, you could probably, say the Bills only use 22 to get up and do what they have to do.
And they keep their second round picks.
Keep their second round picks.
And their third round picks.
Get your tackles in day two if you need them. Get a tackle in day two if you need one. You can get a guard in day two if you need one. Linebacker is looking like a pretty steady in class.
So
cornerback is a pretty deep class here.
Yeah.
Finally, I would say the last one is wide receiver. It's not top heavy, but it's deep.
So let me ask you this then. Let's say the Bills trade 22 to move up and get their guy at 7, whoever, if it's Rose or Mayfield, whatever.
So only using 22 let's and not the only, other picks.
Let's
okay.
say they use 22, and then let's say they trade another
maybe,
pick.
Maybe Tampa gives them a pick for it then, too.
Maybe.
Because trading, we'll let's see, hang on. I want to look at the value chart.
Well, let me, okay. They have four. They'll have four picks in day two. Let's say they have four picks in day two, or even three picks in day two. Let's say maybe they trade 96 instead of 65.
All right, here we go. Ready? Tampa Bay. It's at 1500.
Okay.
Number 12 is 1200. Number 22 is 780.
Okay.
So you know what that means? You could probably get a pick back.
Maybe like a day three pick.
Not even a day three pick.
I don't know.
You
it's hard,
talk
it's hard
to
va-
Tampa Bay.
It's hard to value them.
You can talk to Tampa Bay about pick 38 in the second round. It could be in the discussion.
It could be in the discussion.
You might have to give up a third rounder just to be sure.
So maybe you give up like 96 then.
Yeah. You can give them 96. Or if you want to really just be sure about it, just give them 65.
That's true too.
Because you are moving up for something that you need.
Yeah, that's true. See, that's kind of where I'm at right now.
Yeah, you'd go, let's see, it's 12,
I'm
22,
feeling
and
like
65, and then you get 7 and 38 in return. That means you've got three picks now in the second round.
Yeah.
And you've got your pick at 7.
Okay, but let me go to my quick question real quick. So let's say the Bills pick three times in day two.
Okay.
Do you go defensive tackle, guard, receiver?
Yeah, I would go in that order. Linebacker might be a more pressing of a need.
Yeah.
Than a defensive tackle, I would say, because you at least signed Star Lotulelei.
Yeah.
And you have Kyle Williams, Adolphus Washington in that rotation. At linebacker, you really shallow outside of Matt Milano and Lorenzo Alexander.
Yeah.
It's not great.
It's not great.
So you might need something there.
Okay. That's kind of where I'm
going. So I'd say linebacker over D tackle. I would say receiver round 3.
Okay. Yeah, that's kind of where I'm thinking too.
While I love James Washington out of Oklahoma State, if the Bills are trading up, there's no realistic possibility they get him.
Yeah.
So my eyes are now shifting to Dante Pettis, Washington.
Okay.
Pettis is a fantastic receiver that made Jake Browning pop out of the screen when it was him, John Ross, when it was Pettis, John Ross, and Jake Browning throwing to him.
Yeah.
Ross got drafted in the first round, and Pettis became a safety valve for Browning last year. The more I watched of Browning, the more I was loving Dante Pettis.
Mm-hmm.
However, he doesn't necessarily have the size grade. He's good at punt returns, too. And you just let Brandon Tate walk.
Yep.
Use a guy.
That would make sense. That would
be a great shot
in
the arm.
Yeah. Okay.
So we'll see what happens.
We'll see what happens.
Obviously, I have no idea what's going to happen with this draft.
No one does.
And what they're going to pay and what they need to pay.
Yeah.
But with the draft value chart that I'm looking at here.
Yeah.
1500. I might have even had the Bills overpaying by a lot.
That's
because what I did was I said,
see, that's why I'm feeling is going to end up happening. No matter what they do, they're going to have to overpay.
Get your calculator out, kids. 1200.
No, I don't want to do math.
I said get your calculator out, Francis.
Math, though.
I called you Francis on the show.
Okay. Is my name.
So, fair. All right, so get your calculator out, man. Help me out real quick, because what I'm going to do is it's 1,200.
Okay.
And 370. And 340. And 265.
Plus 265?
Yeah, 265 add on to that.
265. 2175.
That can get you to Cleveland on the value chart at 1800. We're going to 1500 with Tampa Bay.
That's a
so they might be sending something back.
Maybe.
But that's just one trade value chart. I don't know if they're all universal.
I don't know either. That's kind of why I'm weary of it. And
no,
I'm all
there. It is. There it is. Yeah, it's pretty much the same.
Okay.
So you're looking at 1500. But how much did I have them spending?
2175.
You can get anywhere into 4, 5, 6, or 7, or obviously anything below.
I have two things with this. One, I feel like the Bills are going to overpay no matter what because they're going to move up to get a guy that they want.
Take 265 out of it, if you can.
That becomes 1910.
1910.
Yeah. Here,
you're
but
still
my other
overpaying
thing,
by quite a bit to move only 5 spots, but I'm okay with that. And then
my other thing,
65.
Though, none of that matters as long as you get your guy.
Bam.
So, yeah.
Bam, right there. And guess what? When you get a guy, hopefully you get a championship and not just another Philip Rivers.
Wow. Yeah.
But if you give me a Philip Rivers career, it might be cool that, I mean, obviously we'll be frustrated throughout the years when we don't win the championship finally, but you at least will have a team that's fun and exciting to watch for a decade.
Yeah.
A decade.
So my question that I have.
Yes. And that was probably my way of trying to segue to it.
Yeah. So shifting from the draft.
And from football.
Kind of. Henrik and Daniel Sedin of the Vancouver Canucks recently just announced that they will retire at the end of the year. It came as a bit of a shock.
Vancouver's so bad.
Vancouver's very bad.
And they're going to get
worse. A lot of people kind of thought, well, if this really is the end of the road for them in Vancouver, there are a lot of talk. You know, they didn't get traded at the deadline because they could have. They're both free agents at the end of the year. Now, a lot of people thought that they could have maybe gone to another team. Maybe each goes the separate ways, go to another team, so they could try to win a championship before they retire. But they decided we're just going to call it a career. They're going to end their careers as Vancouver Canucks.
And together, too,
especially. Yeah. Are they, or could they be, the two best players in hockey to never win a championship? And who are the best players to never win a championship in all sports? Because you got to look, their careers are ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous what they did.
And together. They got close
one time. They got to a game, you know, game seven, Boston. It was a memorable series, but the Bruins.
Made more memorable by the ending of it and what happened afterward.
Yeah. But, you know, like, who are some of the best hockey players to never win the cup? Now that you put the Sedins on that list.
One of their former teammates, Roberto Luongo.
Yep.
A guy who's had a stellar, consistent career.
And we could talk some active players right now, but then you just got to look at some retired players like Pat LaFontaine.
Yeah. I mean, obviously Alex Ovechkin's on there.
Yep. Ovi. Joel Thornton.
Backstrom as well.
Yeah.
Nicholas Backstrom does not get enough credit.
No, he doesn't. He
does not get enough credit for being his own guy.
No. Joel Thornton.
Thorny, yeah.
Thorny
and Marlowe.
Yeah. For Marlowe right now, you know, things are looking pretty good in Toronto where. Well, we'll see what happens. But Marlowe's on the list right now. In hockey, I mean, yeah, Luongo's a great one. Who else? What else can you think?
I mean, did Pavel Bure win a championship?
No. Pavel Bure never did. So there's another one.
Yeah.
He was a Vancouver. He was with Florida.
Yeah. Yeah, that's... Pavel Bure is one of those guys that was special.
Pavel Bure was awesome.
He was special. Like back in that golden era of scoring.
Yeah.
It was the late 80s, early 90s.
Yeah.
Man, Pavel Bure was one of those guys.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, dude, anytime you pick up NHL 94,
you get Vancouver on the random draw. Yeah.
Dude, Pavel Bure is the reason. That you dominate.
Yeah.
Because he's got that, he's so elite with the speed and the scoring.
Yep.
And the wow factor. And it was just, why can't we go back to that? It was, oh my God. That era got me as a kid hyped for hockey. And then they went into the mid to late 90s and they dragged it through the mud.
Well, thanks, Jersey.
But the NHL let it happen. That's the other thing. They let it happen.
Yeah, it's true. But, so,
yeah,
you got those guys that we just named for hockey. What about the other sports?
Philip Rivers is one of the first guys I'm going to call him to.
Dan Marino.
Obviously Dan Marino, but...
Jim Kelly.
Kelly, I mean... But then you got to look at other positions. Barry Sanders, Calvin Johnson.
Yep.
Those are guys that retired because the Lions were incompetent.
Yeah.
They gave it's up true. The rest of their careers, which they had years on.
Yep.
Because Lions.
Yeah.
Larry Fitzgerald's going to hit this list.
Yep.
And that's because of a toe drag from Santonio Holmes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Cardinals won a playoff game because Larry Fitzgerald and the willpower of him alone.
Yeah.
Packers come back, Hail Mary, awesomeness. But then Larry Fitzgerald's like, oh, yeah?
I'm going to be wide open.
I'm going to go ahead and get my team down to the 2-yard line.
Yeah, and then score the winning touchdown.
And then be paid grateful eternity for it by giving a by being given a shovel pass to seal the deal because that was all me.
Yeah.
And Carson Palmer scrambling around and seeing me hanging out by myself.
Yeah, exactly.
He was by himself in that one. That was so fun.
I thought of another hockey player, too.
Hmm.
Shea Weber.
That's right.
Shea Weber, you know. And,
oh, and that ain't happening anytime soon, man.
And that, yeah. I mean, for now, I mean, you could put P.K. Subban on the list, but Nashville's looking good, so we'll see.
Yeah, Subban.
Weber, definitely. I mean, he was has always just been a great, steady defenseman.
Suter himself shot, as well, the, but, yeah. I mean, I don't know about Suter, too.
I don't know about
Shea Weber, though, man. I feel like I can name a bunch of other players like that.
Yeah, but most Eric Carlson.
Eric Carlson's on there, but, like,
Brett Burns. But, I mean, you know, there's a lot of factors with those guys, especially because they're, you know.
They're still going on, too.
Yeah.
Who knows what's going to happen there.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know.
I put Weber on the list because he's older and he's on a terrible team right now, too.
That's true.
Like, I mean, for all we know, Sharks can win the cup, this year, and we could take Thornton off that list.
Yeah. Wouldn't that suck?
Wouldn't that be something?
Marlowe bails on the Sharks and they win a cup.
Yeah. What if they beat Toronto?
Toronto's in the Stanley Cup, I'm going to have a heart attack.
What if it's San Jose versus Toronto, Thornton versus Marlowe?
Toronto gets to the Stanley Cup, I'm going to have a heart attack.
Hey.
Okay.
That'd be something.
I will never have been more invested in the Stanley Cup since 1999 if Toronto makes the god. Ugh,
ugh. I mean, you'd just be cheering for the other team.
God.
You could just cheer heavily for the other team.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's emotional investment, Frank.
It's a lot. Yeah, I know.
I would really be invested in it. And
I think it's worse.
Really ruin
my
day.
Honestly, I think it's worse if the Bruins made the cup.
No, they've won it already.
Yeah, but the thing with the Bruins is after like 2014, they made so many boneheaded moves that they looked like they were going to be at the bottom of the standings for the next few years. And then somehow they got all these younger players just came up and just now they're great again.
You know what it is? And why I'm not mad? They hit on later picks.
They did. Oh, they did. They did.
Why do you think they turned it around? Because they hit on guys like David Pastrnak, Ryan Donato.
Well, David Pastrnak was a late first.
Yeah, but what I'm saying though is they hit on those picks.
Yeah,
Ryan Donato coming in from there.
I know.
Charlie McAvoy.
It's just
they're hitting on picks that, you know, teams need to.
And the fact that they're joining the team a lot sooner.
I can't get jealous of Boston because A, they've already won it. B, they still have three elite players in the NHL. And C, they're hitting on later picks.
I hate Boston more than I do Toronto.
But Boston's kind of numb to me at this point. Yeah, I'm going to cheer against them, of course, but it's not going to be like as hateful because Toronto is what the Sabres should have been.
Yeah.
If Tim Murray didn't screw it up with old-time hockey thought.
And I can't hate Toronto for that then.
It makes me hate Tim Murray more.
It does, but I don't hate Toronto because they did it right.
But it also goes ahead and gives blowhard anti-tank writers a chance to go ahead and say, oh, it doesn't work. Guess what? It worked for Toronto. You want to know why? Because they rebuilt their roster properly. Because they didn't have an incompetent.
So Toronto's the example of how tanking works.
The thing is, they didn't try. They had a Sabres-like season.
They kind of did try and tank, though.
But how hard did they try to tank?
It wasn't as hard, though.
I thought it was like 10 points more that the Toronto Maple Leafs had.
It was.
When they finished in the last only Sabres.
That's five wins.
Yeah.
So
that's 10 whole points. That's a big difference in the standings.
The thing was is that they kept their – they had like the core players that were going to be here after the tank. Everybody else got traded. And they signed a bunch of – they still signed a lot of scrub players. And then some of them they traded.
Yeah, but, you know, leave the Tim Murray.
It also helps to get incredible value on trades as well.
Yeah, but again, like
– The
goaltender situation. What does Toronto give up?
First,
Freddie Anderson?
First and a second.
What does Buffalo give up? They give up a first.
Just a first.
But what Toronto did was a late first, wasn't it?
It was the last pick in the first
round. Last pick of the first round. So essentially a second rounder.
Yeah.
And Buffalo, they gave up a pick that was in the 20s.
Yeah.
Number 20, I think.
Yeah.
Tim Murray didn't understand
but
anything
you know
about
what? But here,
he
but
overpaid
I think
for
the
everything.
Other, I think the other thing you got to understand, too, with that is Leonard was available at the time. Freddie Anderson was available a year later.
But my thing is that it was all about value.
If you can, okay.
Tim Murray and his biggest problem was he never understood value for anything. Did he have to give up that many prospects and players for Ryan O'Reilly? No. Did they win the trade? Yes. did they have to give up that much stuff for Evander Kane? Probably not. Did they win the trade? Yeah. I'd say so. Stafford wasn't going to go back to the Jets. Army and Lemieux are bleh. Yeah. And who's the first-round pick?
Roslovic, and he's looked good.
Yes, so that one hurts.
Yeah, that's the only thing that hurts.
Yes, but like then look at the O'Reilly trade. The Sabres won those trades, but it would have been nice to still have some extra pieces.
The only piece I'd want from that trade is JT Compher.
Oh, yeah.
That's really it.
Yeah,
I don't mind giving up the second-round pick. It was the second-round pick that Colorado traded.
I would have liked them to at least have asked the lowering price down on a pick. If you're throwing that much stuff at them, then maybe there should be something to it. But
so best players never win. I'm sorry. That was my fault we went on that tangent.
Look at you pulling my role today.
Yeah.
I'm so proud of you.
You're welcome. So, yeah, we were still talking about best players never win a championship.
What about Stockton Malone?
Yeah, those are two.
The Patrick Jazz Ewing. Were amazing with those two.
Patrick Ewing.
Oh, yeah.
Charles Barkley.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's terrible, man.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, no,
what about baseball players?
You know that's not my suit. I'm not even going to be able to convince myself that I know.
I think Ernie Banks never
won. Roy Halladay was one. Yeah. No, he won it with Philly.
He did win it with Philly.
See? That's how much I don't know.
Yeah. I'm going to double check that. I'm pretty sure he was on the 08 team. Yeah, I'm pretty sure he was.
Yeah, because he was probably one of the reasons why.
Yeah.
Could you imagine? Roy Halladay, man.
Yeah. No. No.
So oh, no?
He wasn't. Yeah, he was traded to Philly in 2009.
Oh,
hurts. After the 2009 season.
All right.
So there you go. There's a guy.
Roy Halladay, yeah.
Yeah.
You want to talk about one of the best pitchers to play the game?
Yep. Check in. Ernie Banks. Never won.
Nope.
There's another guy.
There's a lot of best players
ever, yeah.
There's a lot to this, and I think this needs to be more an extension of a different podcast on itself.
Yeah.
Because we had a lot of time talking about the draft.
Yep.
We went on a mini tangent.
Yep.
Because that's just what happens here. And I think the clock's going backwards again for the second time today.
It's going backwards again.
I love this place.
We love our place of work.
Now, my big thing, though, is this. Back to something more current with hockey.
What's that?
Nylander getting called up, man.
He did.
He got called up. He's playing with Casey Mittelstadt.
Yeah.
In the home finale.
Yeah.
That I'm not going to be able to go to.
Yeah.
I'm a little surprised he didn't put him with a more steadying presence, like an Eichel or O'Reilly at center. But I'm not mad either.
I'm not mad. I mean,
why not? Get as much skill with this kid as possible so that he can try to flourish.
Yeah.
Nylander is one of those guys that when he was drafted, you think about it and go, okay, he's going to be a guy who helps you fill out your top six. Well, kid, let's go. See what you got.
Let's see it. Yep.
On a line with Mittelstadt and Kyle Poso, which means he's got something to it.
Yep.
He's not putting him with Jordan Nolan or Johan Larson or even Zemnis Girgensons.
Thank God.
Poor Girgensons, by the way, his face. Now, here's my big thing. Listen, I like seeing the Amherst do well as much as the next guy. You already know where this is going.
I know where this is going.
I want to see them succeed, too. Why? Yeah, because that means that it helps the development of the team.
Of course.
But at the end of the day, for better or worse, first place or last place? Hell, being one of the best teams in the AHL to one of the worst teams in the NHL. The minor league club serves the parent first always.
Yes.
It's not about championships more than it is proper development of the players that the Sabres are giving you. That's it. And I know Rochester fans are salty because Tim Murray left that team in a barren wasteland. And that's guess what?
When you hire a GM who knows how to develop players in the AHL and knows that the AHL team needs to succeed as much as the NHL team does, look at what that 1 year turnaround has done.
Insta turnaround. You guys have a team that's cool and fun to watch again.
And it's in the playoffs.
You're welcome. Guess what?
You're welcome.
We're not sad. Like, Buffalo's not sabotaging your season.
There's no.
There is nothing to that. There's something really about this. And here it is.
Players get called up from the AHL all the time. And yes, sometimes when those players get called up from the AHL, they get hurt playing in the NHL. Guess what? That's sports. Injuries happen. You cannot prevent injuries from happening.
Something was brought up by Melissa Burgess. She writes about the Buttes.
Yes.
Pretty good with that sort of stuff there. And she brought up a great tweet about this. If the Sabres don't exist, the Rochester Americans don't have players. If it's not meant to serve rightfully the Sabres team, then what does the AHL have?
Yeah.
Because then you don't get Justin Bailey. Yep. You don't have Alex Nylander. You don't have CJ. Yeah, well, you don't get CJ Smith.
Yeah.
You don't get Rochester, your all-star boy.
Rochester still exists, but it wouldn't be.
It's not good.
Yeah.
It's not good at that point. Look.
They would Sabres, be under another team.
The Sabres know that with this new regime, the Sabres know that AHL development is crucial. Be thankful that you don't have another Tim Murray in here giving you a garbage team in addition to the garbage team that we have.
Yeah.
Be thankful that yours actually has something worth a damn this season for your AHL championship run. Be thankful that Jason Botterill knows that the AHL is important because it could be worse and you already lived through it.
Yeah.
Enough. There's no sabotaging. There's no, like, that's just irresponsible to say and downright stupid. You know how dumb it is? The clock went ahead and started going forward again. Okay?
Yeah.
I'm so sick. And it's a minority of them, too. But don't go ahead and brag about, you know, covering the Amerks and everything like that and being salty that the Sabres need to worry about numero uno, the Sabres. Not to mention, Alex Nylander and Kevin Porter, they deserve this call-up. Get them some
Nylander
NHL.
Nylander did deserve
Ready?
It.
Ready?
Yeah.
Get yourself some NHL games.
Yeah.
Feel
they
good.
They will be back.
Ready? Here it is. Get yourself some NHL games. There's three of them. Get some speed in.
Mm-hmm.
Get used to the speed of the NHL game. Come yeah. back to the AHL with Nylander, Porter, Baptiste probably able to go back down,
He will be back, yeah.
I'm pretty sure Rodriguez has played so much of the season that he would be subject to not being able to be sent down.
He was there this year, though.
Yes, he was.
In Rochester.
Yeah. Gooley should be able to go back Gooley, down.
Nelson. Ullmark will be back.
Look at what you're getting back in three games.
Yeah.
Three games. That's all we're asking. Let the kid get some confidence. Because guess what? If he does well at the NHL level with Casey Mittelstadt, something tells me that you might be getting a confident Alex Nylander coming back.
Oof. And a hot, the one that
has 8 points in his last eight games for Rochester.
Yeah.
Huh. Hmm. Funny about that. Look.
By the way. What's that? You go.
I'm sorry. But did the Buffalo Sabres not care so much about Rochester that they gave Will Borgen an amateur tryout contract so that his ELC then kicks in after that? So he's playing in Rochester first?
Vasily Glotov got an ATO with the...
Vasily Glotov.
Yeah.
A fan favorite of prospect camps.
There's also... There was also talk about Asplund and Olofsson, but when I was talking to Brayton Wilson, he's thinking that both of them are going to play for Sweden in the World Championships. So probably Rochester's not going to be this year. However, he sees them both being signed to entry-level contracts going into next year. So there's two other guys for Rochester.
I'm just saying, if the Sabres didn't care about your organization, Rochester fans, that, and again, I'm talking to the minority of these guys that are just making the most noise about it. Will Borgen wouldn't be playing there right now.
Yeah.
He'd be with us.
Yeah.
So shut up.
It's true. It really is true. And
the guy went to the Olympics. He didn't play a game in it.
He didn't.
But he was an Olympic. He was an Olympian.
He was there.
He was an Olympian.
He was there.
You guys got an Olympian.
Yeah. That's very true. Very true. Rochester has 6 games left in the season anyway. So what's going to be great about all of this, the Sabres' final game is this Saturday, the 7th. Rochester also plays that night against the Marlies. After that, they still have 3 games left next week. So guess what? Those last 3 games for the Amerks, they're going to have Nylander. They're going to have, they already got Bailey. They're going to have Baptiste. They're going to probably also have Ullmark. Hopefully a healthy Ullmark. Healthy Gooley.
Casey Nelson. Jesus.
Maybe I... don't know if you can. You
that
might
team's
be able
gonna be
to
stacked
do...
for a run because guess what? Gooley and Nelson have been doing in the NHL.
Pretty good things.
Not bad.
Yeah.
Guess what? Nick Baptiste has been doing despite not having as much production. Pretty good.
Pretty good things.
Guess what? Oh my God.
You'll get Porter back too.
Like it just.
They could send Rodriguez. Yeah, they could.
They
send,
could. If they send back Evan Rodriguez, who's been.
I think
very solid for the Sabres.
Okay, when we're done with the podcast, I'm going to ask Brayton that question. If Brayton's still here, I'm going to ask
him. Go outside and do that right now.
We'll do it when we're
because
when
we're, here's the big thing. If you can send Evan Rodriguez back down, you're getting a guy who's almost a point every other game.
Yeah.
In the NHL this year.
And he was a point a game in the AHL before he got called up.
And he's a point every other game in the NHL right now.
Yeah.
You want to tell me he's not feeling good?
He played.
Oh, and now he's
games.
Playing with Jack Eichel.
And he's playing with Eichel.
Again.
Yeah, great.
Again. So guess what?
Yeah.
He's going to look good again.
Yeah.
He's going to get more points again.
Mm-hmm.
And he was doing it. Remember, that line, Bailey, Baptiste, and Rodriguez in the NHL was giving headaches.
It was.
And guess who's going to get
pretty
put.
Pretty nice.
And if they can get Rodriguez back down there, the band's back together for a line.
Yeah.
Good night.
Yeah.
We should check out some.
And you know what, too? You know what's really cool? You know what's, I mean, Kevin Porter being called up, that was for a reason. I don't think it was because of Porter's play. It could have been. I think it was because of Sean Malone's play. I've been hearing a lot of really good things about Sean Malone and how he's becoming like this, like he could develop into a very quality fourth line center, a guy who's going to just like be a workhorse every night. I think they call up Kevin Porter to give Sean Malone more ice time and see what he's becoming.
Yeah, but yeah, Sean Malone could have been a guy they could have called.
They could have called up Sean. They could have called up Malone, but I think they called up Porter so they could give Malone more ice time and, like I said, see where he's at in his development.
I think Porter is more for one reason. If something were to happen to any one of those centers in the last 3 games,
that's true.
You need a center.
Yeah, that's true.
You need a center.
Yeah,
that's it. You can move Rodriguez over if you needed to, but at the end of the day, you need a center if someone gets hurt.
Yeah.
If Eichel, O'Reilly, or Mittelstadt, or Larson have something happen to them, especially if it's Larson. If Larson has something happen to him,
mm-hmm.
you're going to throw Rodriguez on the fourth line? Is that a good idea?
Not really. I mean,
not really.
It's not terrible.
But at the same time, if you want him to play more wing, you might want to keep him.
It depends on what do they see Rodriguez as a winger or a center.
The Sabres, I think, might see him as a winger.
They probably do.
A guy who can play center but is a winger.
They probably do.
And that's why they called up Kevin Porter.
Okay.
It's because if something happens to Larson, Eichel, O'Reilly, Mittelstadt.
Yeah.
There it is. And whatever. It happens like that. And that's when you could plug Kevin Porter in.
Mm-hmm.
Injuries happen, and you got to be careful with it. Some guys might be day to day after tonight's game. Who knows?
Yeah, I think Rodriguez does have.
At the end of the day, we went longer on this than I wanted to.
It's true.
At the end of the day, shut up. there it is.
By the way, Rodriguez looks like does have to go through waivers according to Cap Friendly.
So you don't get Rodriguez back. Sorry.
Yeah, I wouldn't suspect it.
I was gonna say.
You know what? Daniel Regan's there too in Rochester.
Yeah.
You know, let's see where he's at as well.
So would Baptiste? So Baptiste has to be called into question now too.
Baptiste is exempt.
Okay.
From waivers.
There you go.
Yep.
So you don't get Evan Rodriguez back. Julian Nelson, you really got to be sure about that.
They both are exempt.
Okay.
So I have the list of waivers exempt players right now for the Sabres in front of me.
So it's Evan Rodriguez that you don't get back.
Rodriguez is the only one.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's unfortunate for you.
That's unfortunate, but hey, but you know what? He's also been
playing at a very solid pace productive-wise.
He's playing like an NHL player.
21 points in 45 games.
I'll take that for a third liner. I'll take that.
You can fill your bottom six with a guy that can put some pucks in the net for you.
Pucks on the net, plays a speed game. Yeah.
If next year you get that Baptiste Bailey Rodriguez line. Dude.
I'm going to love it.
Dude.
I'm going to love it. But then again, I wouldn't see that exact line happening based on if they're seeing their top three centers next year being Eichel, O'Reilly, Mittelstadt.
Then you put Rodriguez and Baptiste with Casey Mittelstadt.
There you go. Okay, we're good. There you go.
Speed.
Speed. Speed.
You know, speed.
And guess what?
Skill.
Speed kills.
And that's the team that they want to build.
Yep.
We got a preview of it, guys.
This is what I've been saying.
And guess what? It's going to hurt Rochester, but Jason Botterill?
They're getting guys. But listen, if you got... If Baptiste and Bailey are coming up to the NHL next year, who are the two guys I just mentioned that's going to be there to replace them? Olofsson and Asplund. As long as those two guys sign. Guess who else is going to be in Rochester next year, too? Cliff Poo is coming to Rochester next year because he's already signed.
That's right.
So he could make the team, but he probably more likely is going to be in Rochester.
And there's going to be a lot of competition.
Potentially,
from those young
guys. I mean, we don't know where Hudson Fashing is going to be. We don't know.
I'm a little concerned with Hudson Fashing.
I'm concerned about it too. Don't worry. But that's another. Potentially,
day.
You still got Sean Malone there. We don't know where CJ Smith is going to be at too. Hopefully, he makes the Sabres. But if he doesn't, hey, he's going to flourish in Rochester.
Now, at the end of the day, though, all those kids are going to be in a competition.
Yeah.
For roster spots.
Yes.
And that only makes people better.
Yes. We'll see where O'Regan's at as well.
Like I said, I talked
and
about
whoever
this.
Whoever else they bring in.
I talked about this point much longer than I wanted to.
Yeah.
But again, at the end overtime. Of the day, if you're making noise and complaints about Rochester, you shouldn't be worried about it.
Yeah.
Not only are you getting a majority of those players back, you're also going to go ahead and get... You're getting players back that you haven't had for most of the season at this point.
Yeah.
For most of the end of it, I should say.
Yeah.
With Gouley and Nelson.
And Ullmark and Baptiste.
Well, Ullmark's been there for a solid chunk of it.
Yeah, that's true.
But Nelson and Gouley have been playing a lot in the NHL. Yep. Baptiste, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Rodriguez is unfortunately waiver exempt.
Yeah.
He played more than half the season, which I think is what it is.
Yeah, I think that's what it is. It's okay, though.
But Rodriguez was making the team anyway.
Mm-hmm.
He played in Rochester to recover from
a
broken hand.
Yeah.
That was why he played in Rochester.
Yeah.
He was making the team.
Yeah.
From training camp. We'll see what happens.
See what happens.
And guess what? Just like that, with a couple of call-ups and signings, the Sabres are fun to talk about again.
They are. Like.
Who would have thought?
Oh, I want to see Nylander and Mittelstadt score tonight.
And imagine if Buffalo wins the lottery, folks.
Happy days.
18-5. They lose in regulation to Ottawa. Well, they lock in that 18-5.
Yeah, I'm not really thinking about that part though. But yeah,
I'd rather watch them be fun and.
See a fun game.
You know what? Win.
Sure.
Win this game at home.
Sure.
That may be a hot take, but win.
No,
you wonder why?
No Erik Karlsson.
You know what? Win in overtime.
Sure.
You wanna know why? Then Ottawa gets a point.
Yeah.
So then they're 2 points ahead.
Yeah.
And it becomes
the last
less
two
less
games
likely.
Are against Tampa and Florida anyway.
Yeah.
Probably not going to win those games anyway, so don't worry.
Who, Ottawa or Buffalo?
Buffalo.
They could win against Tampa. Mm. Why? Because they give problems to the top teams in the Atlantic.
They do.
Florida, they no do. Chance. They just cannot play Florida for the life of them. I don't know why.
Yeah.
They can solve the Tampa Bay Lightning and the Boston Bruins with no problems on days. Yet they can't solve Florida for more than one game a season.
They couldn't solve Montreal either.
Yeah, they got swept by the Canadiens.
Yeah.
They got shot up by Niemi. Ugh.
Yeah. I think we're done here.
Yeah, I think we're done.
Are we loopy? I'm pretty loopy.
Do it.
All right, I'm loopy.
All right, Frank's hungry.
I am hungry, too. I do want to get food.
All right, well, thanks for listening, as always, on WGR550.com. This yes. is the Leftovers Podcast. My name is Derek Kramer. You can follow me on Twitter at Derek Kramer WGR.
I am Frank R. Curry. You can follow me on Twitter at Frank R. Curry. Spelling my last name will be in the description.
God, you always leave it to me to type the thing in the description, don't you, Frank?
I mean,
what if I forget one day? Like I did on Sunday. No, I didn't.
You didn't.
I don't forget.
Just don't forget.
That's because I'm good.
Yeah. You're a professional.
Eh.
Somewhat.
Yeah. Okay, I'll take that. I do get paid. I do get paid. Yeah. So I am a professional, I guess, in the realm of the literal term.
Yes.
You are listening to professionals. Being professional-ish.
Yeah.
On the Leftovers Podcast on WGR550.com. We'll be back Sunday. Thanks for listening. And you can catch it anytime, any day that you want. Peace out.
Diamond Dynasty has all new Red Diamond cards and World Baseball Classic content in MLB The Show 26. Collect your favorites and compete against the best. MLB The Show 26 is available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and Nintendo Switch. Rated E for everyone. Officially licensed by MLB Players, Inc.
Lemonade! Fresh squeeze lemonade! Lemonade? Oh, nuts.
Is your business struggling to be seen? Not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, mine starts here.